Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi welcomes you to our new podcast series. If you'd like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.
Okay, Tov. On Friday night, we were talking about my journey, I guess, from my former dark past. One of the things that we didn't talk about, but is also a part of sometimes a part of the Haredi community, I think, is Rebbe worship in some ways, meaning putting the Rebbe as, you know, on the pedestal, everything that he says. We talked about it a little bit. But there's the same question when it comes to Tanakh. There's like a machloket basically about how do we view the people in Tanakh. Do we view them as, you know, these perfect tzaddikim in all ways and really almost unattainable ways? Or do we look at what's called Gover Einayim, we look at them and try to see what we can learn from their mistakes as well as the things that have gone on in their lives, and not only the perfection of their lives. And in this week's parsha, we have in Sheni a very out of place aliyah. We're in the middle of the story, literally in the middle of the story of the beginnings of Moshe coming to try to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Paro doesn't listen, last week's parsha, right? And then suddenly in the middle we take a break. What do we take a break for? To tell you who Reuven was, and then it tells you Shimon, and who the children of Shimon were, and then it tells us Levi, and then it tells us nothing, i.e. it tells us Reuven, Shimon, then it tells us about Levi, it goes through all the different children of Levi and their children, and then it gets to Moshe and Aaron, and then it stops, and then it gets back to our story. What in the world is this doing in the middle of this story? Why does it break up our story of Moshe and Aaron eventually also joins him to go to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim? What is it doing here? So our verse says something very interesting. Here's how he says it. He says, I'll read it inside because he says it better than I can, obviously. He says, up until now, Moses and Aaron's efforts had been completely frustrated, and if nothing further was to occur, it would probably have been considered unnecessary to provide us with such exact proof of their parentage and relations. But from this point onwards begins their triumphal mission, a mission which has never been accomplished before or after them, so that then it became a real necessity to first of all establish their parentage and relationships. Listen to the part that's important here. So that for all time, their absolutely human origin and the absolutely ordinary human nature of their being should be firmly established. The reason why we have this parsha right in the middle, showing the lineage, we know the lineage. It's not the first time that we've heard about Reuven and their families, etc. But here we have it in order to teach us that Moshe and Aaron were human. That they didn't come, you know, out of, you know, they didn't know all of Shas when they were five, you know, and were already steiging the Beit Midrash at 10, you know, they were already writing their own Chidushim. But they were human. They had parents, they had uncles, they had aunts, they had cousins, etc., etc. That's perhaps one part of what our verse says. Goldsmith actually connects this to a Gemara in Chulin, which asks a question about a number of people and asks, where do we find them in the Torah? Haman, Minayim in the Torah. And then it asks also, it starts with, where do we see Moshe in the Torah? Which is obviously an absurd question, right? We see Moshe all over the Torah, right? And the Gemara gives an answer, which is not what you would think, because it could have just said, well, we see him all over, right? It goes back to Bereshit, and it brings the following pasuk. And it says, "Vayomer Hashem lo yadon ruchi ba'adam la'olam b'shagam hu basar v'yu yamav mea ve'asrim shana." So the translation in the art school says, "And Hashem said, my spirit shall not contend evermore concerning man, since he is but flesh. His days shall be 120 years." Okay, there's a number of connections to Moshe. Moshe 120 years. Rashi says that b'shagam is the same gematria as Moshe. But what is the pasuk saying? Why is it this the pasuk that it brings down for Moshe? Because evermore concerning man, since he is but flesh, his days shall be 120 years. Emphasizing exactly that point that we just said before, which is that Moshe was a human being. And therefore, being a human being is something that we can relate to. We can also relate to Moshe, and perhaps we can even say, I can be a Moshe. And you're probably thinking, who, me? I can have an impact. I can be a leader like Moshe. The answer is yes, yes, and yes. But I'm going to add one other thing that the verse says a little further on, and I think that will kind of put it all together. So he then says that it also, the reason why we have Reuven and Shimon, and why we have all the families of Levi before we get to Moshe, he says that part of the reason for that is, besides for establishing the humanness of Moshe and Aaron, he says, but it might at the same time further belief that without exception, any and everybody is suitable to become a prophet. A man could be known as a complete idiot today and tomorrow proclaim the word of God. The Spirit of God could suddenly descend upon an ignorant, uneducated person, and lo, he can speak in 70 languages, which phenomenon is not without alleged instance in imaginary or pretended prophets in other circles. And then, the more ignorant, the more uneducated the prophet of today was yesterday, the greater the proof of the divinity of the call that worked this change. Our register here counters this dangerous error. Certainly Moses and Aaron were men and nothing but men, but they were picked, chosen men. Had God wished simply to pick the first comer, other tribes and Levi stood at his disposal. He could have chosen Reuven and Shimon. In Levi, other branches, then Kehat, and amongst the families of Kehat, other households in Amram, and among Amram's children, there was the older Aaron. But God chooses the noblest and most suitable to be his tools and messengers. Before he receives his call, the human being must develop and mature his human qualities. It was not Abraham, nor Yitzchak, but Yaakov who became the real founder of the house of Israel. Not Reuben or Shimon, but Levi is to be the chosen tribe. Not Aaron nor Miriam, but Moshe becomes the messenger of God. So yes, on the one hand, Moshe was human. He was human as we see in the Pasuk in Bereshit. He was human as we see the Parsha in our Parsha where it takes a break to tell us about his lineage, that he was human. And therefore, somebody that we can relate to, somebody that we can be. But in order to do that, you also have to work on yourself. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen just like that. The year goes by just like that. But to become a Moshe, to become a leader, that takes work. That takes effort. And that is exactly what Yeshiva is all about. So you too are human. You too can also be a Moshe.
All of us at Yeshiva Eretz Tzvi, thank you for listening to our new series. If you would like to sponsor a lecture or a series, please contact us at podcasts@eretzpod.org.